Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you're here. I feel like I haven't done a one-on-one pod like this. I've been having some guests on. I've been doing the client testimonial videos. It's just been a while since I've sat down and chatted with you one-on-one. So I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm really, really excited that you're here to talk about movement with me, because this is something that if you scroll back, if you're a Fine Food Freedom OG, if you've been here for a while, I have talked about my fucked up relationship with movement for years and years and years and years. And I was like, you know what? Let's do a little timeline, shall we? Let's talk about how I'm a registered dietitian. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I'm a certified personal trainer. And yet I still have a funky relationship with movement. And I think that's okay. And I hope that I can help normalize and validate to you that just because you logically know that you want to move your body for joy doesn't mean that you're just going to wake up and be like, okay, this was punishment for 20 plus years. And now I enjoy it. No, that's not how it works, unfortunately. I wish it could, but it can't. All right. So before we hop into today's like bulk of the episode, I do want to share a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. I share one of these every single week. It might be a message from a client. It might be a DM from someone on our online community. It might be a podcast review, which, by the way, if you love this podcast, please just pause right here and go leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean so, so much to me, because the more we hear from you, the more people hear this podcast and hopefully the people that really need it. So appreciate you. If you ever wrote a review, who knows where my brain is. All right, let's keep going. Today's Fine Food Freedom win of the week is from a client of mine who literally texted me 10 minutes ago. I worked with this amazing human for years and years. I think we started working together in a group coaching program in 2020. She continued on in group. Then she was a one-on-one client. We've worked together for years. And she wrote to me 6 years ago, if you would have told me that I would get married and feel no shame about my body or food, funfetti cake and all, I would have not believed you. But here I am, thanks to you. And she sent me two pictures of her in her wedding dress. Congrats, Tiffany. I love you. The Fine Food Freedom community loves you. You look absolutely radiant. And this is what food freedom is all about. It's the ability to be present in life's most beautiful moments, like a wedding, or in the most simple of moments, and not let the obsessive thoughts about food and body image take you out of the present. So congrats to Tiffany. And if you are someone who is getting married or not, it doesn't matter, and you're like, I'm recognizing how much my relationship with food and body image is making my life unpleasant, we would love to support you. You can click the link in the show notes below, get your insurance benefits checked. We would love, 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 love to support you. Most people have free one-on-one virtual counseling sessions with our team, and they have no idea that they have those benefits. And if you don't, we will gift you 1 month completely free of the Fine Food Freedom membership, which includes 3 group coaching calls with our lead dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. So either you get free one-on-one support or you get a free month of support. Those are the only two options. So I hope to you that you take advantage if you need this support. If you want this support, we would love to have you. All right. So let's jump into my relationship with movement. Okay. So like, it depends on how I'm going to talk to you as if you're like, who the hell are you? Oh, I've never seen this before. So I was the most disordered in my 20s. And so my 20s, but also it started like the final years of high school for me. And so I have vivid memories. I don't know if y'all had like a senior project if that was just the thing we did in my school, but it was like this big senior project that you had to present, and it was something you were working on, and then you would like donate the money if you raised money. It was like this whole thing. And I like don't even remember what mine was, but I do remember that it had something to do with the gym. Oh, I was like shadowing the lead trainer at the gym. And I remember doing it because I was like, I want to, if I'm going to have to put all these hours in, it was like a mix of like volunteer stuff. It's like, if I'm going to have to put all these hours in, I'm going to go to the gym and work out. So it forces me to work out. It was basically like volunteering at my YMCA. I don't know. Like now I'm like, okay, clearly it wasn't that good because I don't remember it. But I do remember the disordered part of my brain that was like, I'm going to do something that like will force me to work out. I do know that. This is where I really had a turning point of hating my body. Disordered thoughts, all of the things started happening. And then I went into college. Now, I don't know how much I'm going to get into it. I have other podcasts on this, and maybe this is like a story for another time, but my senior year in January, my two best friends were in a car accident. One was killed on the spot. One was in a drug-induced coma, and it took months and months and months of recovery. I say this because that had such a profound impact on my relationship with food and body. And I used food to cope, and I didn't understand that I was doing that, but I had so much trauma in that. And I was using food and alcohol and drugs in ways like marijuana in ways that was affecting me so deeply, but I had no awareness. Like I can say that now looking back on it, but at the time I couldn't. And so when I went off to college, it was like, I was trying to escape my reality. Don't get me wrong. I went to Penn State college atmosphere, right? It's partying, it's drinking, it's like all around you. But I was trying to escape my reality that I had just lost my best friend, and my other best friend was like going off to college and just had this traumatic car accident. And so I was grappling with all of this, and it just kind of sent me further into binge drinking. I would engage in harmful behaviors of like restricting all day, binge at night, go to the gym. Like I can picture the gym at my college. I can smell it. You know, it like gives me PTSD. I would go, it was called the Arc Trainer, which was like a, it almost looks like you're like skiing. And then the elliptical, I would just go on it for hours and hours and hours and watch the calorie burn and just like stay on it. And then I also became a trainer, like a student trainer at the gym, because then I would work at the gym. I would swipe people into the gym. Then I became a trainer. And I was like, similar to the senior project, it was like, well, if I can just spend as much time as possible in the gym, it will force me to work out. That was the intention originally. Now, meanwhile, all of this is happening. I took an intro to nutrition course. I took an intro to kinesiology, fitness studies course. And I really did develop this love for the human body and how it worked. But then like two things can be true, right? I had this like love for nutrition and fitness, but then there was also this like hate for my body and finding like, if I could just find the magic answer to intentional weight loss, then I would like love myself. And so then I was like forcing myself to be around the gym because then I was like, well, it'll make me skinny. It was like the whole disordered mess. And I tell you this because I went on to become a dietitian, a certified intuitive eating counselor, a certified personal trainer. And here I am in my mid-30s, and I still have a funky relationship with movement. I would call it, like, if I had to, so we do this with clients, with movement, food, and body. If you rank your relationship with movement on a scale, unpleasant, neutral, pleasant, what would you rank? I would say neutral. Used to be unpleasant as hell. I'm in the neutral range. I would like to be in the pleasant range. And I actually just had an experience that was extremely pleasant that I would love to do more of. So, and we can go there right now to the present. So I shared on Instagram a story that I went to a dance class. My husband had actually purchased this for my birthday this year. My birthday's in January. It's October now, LOL. Only took me 10 months to use my birthday gift. But when he bought it for me, I was like really struggling postpartum to like get out of the house, do things for myself, do things for fun. I had kept talking about dance classes. I love dance. I wanted to do something. So he bought me these classes. I finally did one. I made a friend come with me. Was so happy that she did, but I was going to go alone. And it's this studio that they tell you what you're dancing to before you go. So obviously I picked the class based on the song, and we danced to TikTok by Kesha. It was so much fun. It was like, it was a really big moment for me to reflect on how far I've come, that I didn't even realize that, like, I'm thinking of my disordered self when I would go to not even a dance class, but more so like maybe a fitness class, like a room that's full of mirrors, that you're looking at yourself in the mirror, that other people are around you. Like, I would never do something like that because I was so hyperfixated on, are people looking at me? What are people thinking of me? How do I look in the mirror? Da-da-da-da-da. Like, I would have never done a dance class because that wasn't intense enough to burn calories or whatever my fucked up thoughts were. So to then fast forward to this week where I did this dance class, I enjoyed the dance class. I laughed through the dance class. I had fun. It was an hour of moving my body, but not fucking thinking about calories or what I look like. And it was just smiling and laughing and meeting new people. And it was so fun. That is what movement is all about. It was like one of these euphoric moments where I was like, this is what we do for, this is what I do for a living. This is what I teach people, but I don't do this a lot myself. And I want to talk about why. So again, I'm just speaking off of my lived experience, but I think this can be really, really helpful for people to hear. So when you're making peace with movement and exercise and fitness, which is very common on an intuitive eating journey, you have to give yourself unconditional permission to rest. If you don't believe that you deserve rest, that you should rest, that you deserve rest as a human being, you cannot release the guilt and shame then when you're not moving your body. So, and a lot of people, like when people are like, well, how do I know if my relationship with movement is disordered? Do you feel guilt and shame when you skip a workout? Do you feel guilt and shame if you don't get enough steps on your Apple Watch that day? Like, that's a huge indicator. And so this idea of needing unconditional permission to rest, to make peace with movement, it's the same thing with food. We have to have unconditional permission to eat if we want to make peace with food. Because if we don't have unconditional permission to eat certain foods or certain amounts of food, then anytime we eat said food or said amount of food that we deem is too much, well, you guessed it, you're going to feel guilt and shame. And that guilt and shame spiral will affect the way that you feel about food, movement, your body, and it'll also affect your behaviors that you engage in or lack thereof. So this unconditional permission to rest, I have been grappling with for years. I want to make that explicitly clear. I am a registered dietitian. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I am a certified personal freaking trainer. And it has taken me years to get here. And I think some of it is related to my relationship with movement. I also think some of it, if I really take a hard look at myself and like observe my life, try to step back, I think some of it is season of life too, right? Like, I'm a mom to a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. It's a crazy season of life. I am needed physically and emotionally so deeply from other human beings that it's really, really hard to carve out time for myself. And when I do have time, for example, right now, both kids are at daycare, I pack my workload in when it's my time. And I love that. I love the work that I do. I'm so freaking lucky to be holding a microphone and be talking about this right now. But some of it is, in this season of life, I have to prioritize certain things, and I definitely do prioritize work over moving my body. And I can come up, when you're an entrepreneur and a business owner and your own boss, you can come up with 1,000 freaking things you should be doing for work over moving your body. So that is a huge piece that I've known about myself, but I really, like, the more I dissect it, I recognize it. But I can tell you that I haven't smiled and giggled as much as I did at that dance class in a long time. And it was so freaking fun. So you bet your bottom dollar your girl signed up again. Thank you to my husband for my 2-week free trial for my birthday. And he bought it for 3 of my friends. And I'm going to another class where it's going to be Sabrina Carpenter's new song House Tour. Like, are you kidding me? It's going to be so fun. I'm like already so excited, like looking forward to that. That is what movement should be like. This is not me telling you that you need to do a dance class. This is me telling you that after you give yourself unconditional permission to rest, which might take weeks, which might take years, you can find movement that you genuinely enjoy. And when I shared this on social media, I had people commenting like, I have never exercised other than for the intention of shrinking my body. And I get that. That was me for years. You cannot hate your way to happiness. You cannot hate something so deeply that you're going to love doing it, no matter what your intention is. But if you're like, if you hate running, but you're forcing yourself to run because you want to be in a certain body and you're just forcing these miles on yourself, one, you'll probably get injured, but two, you will not learn to love that. And that doesn't mean you can't run again, because that's another interesting thing. I was all about cardio back in my diet culture days. That was my thing. And so I had, like, I've ran, was it 3 or 4? I don't know. I've ran 3 or 4 half marathons. Don't know how many. Many, many, many moons ago. And I, a lot of times, I would sign up for that because it was like, oh, well, then it forces me to run. I'm not going to show up to a race without running. But the idea of running for so many years, I was like, hell no. Like, I don't want to think about running. That sounds terrible. But it's funny, I've been now going to the gym on the days that I have my one daughter home, YMCA, free childcare, bless the fucking gods, incredible. So I go to the gym, honestly, simply for childcare. Like, if I'm being honest with you, that's what's gotten me the gym. I'm like, I don't care what I do. Sometimes I just go and walk on the treadmill. Sometimes I lift and I like listen to like rap music from 2010 and I just get after it. But like, sometimes when I'm on the treadmill, I have like really, really, really good music on and I'll just do something like a power hour. For example, I shared a TikTok about this where I was listening to music on the treadmill and I was like, you know, it would be so fun. We used to do power hours in Penn State back in my drinking days, where every minute you take a shot of, it was beer at the time. And then on the minute mark, a buzzer would go off and then the song would change. You can go on YouTube and find this anywhere, any like themed power hour. So I did like a 2010 rap music power hour on the treadmill. I didn't do the whole hour, but I was like, this will be fun. I'm going to walk for a minute, run for a minute, walk for a minute, run for a minute. And I was so looking forward to the song change and like singing along. It had nothing to do with the fact that I was like running or walking. I wasn't doing it to burn calories. I genuinely was doing it for fun. And this is where, like, I cannot stress enough. It has taken me years, years, years to get to this. And I am a certified personal trainer. I am a certified intuitive eating counselor. I hope by me saying that alone, if you don't remember anything else from this episode, is that like, it's okay for it to take time. It's going to take time and it's going to change. With every child I have birthed, something else has affected my relationship with movement. When I was going through IVF, it took years of infertility treatments where I was on movement restriction. I was not allowed to work out because of like going through the IVF process and blah, blah, blah. They have like, every clinic is different, but I had certain restrictions. So like, things are going to affect your relationship with movement. You know this if you've ever been injured and forced to rest. And so when you give yourself unconditional permission to rest, that is when you can really start to be attuned with your body to what movement am I craving? And The same thing with food, right? If you have unconditional permission to eat, you're going to find that you are going to consume more of the foods that you weren't allowed to have in diet culture, like the cakes and the cookies and the pizza and all that stuff. And then you're going to come to find, well, what food am I craving? Because having like a lot of this all the time, every single day, it's not doing it for me anymore. And I know that fear, right? If you have unconditional permission to eat, that first fear that comes up for you is, oh, I'm never going to stop eating. I'm going to eat everything in sight. I'm never going to stop eating pizza. But we know that's not true, because food habituation, the more you're exposed to food, the more normal you will feel around it, the less scary it'll be, the more you will make choices based off of what your body wants. The same goes for movement. If you give yourself unconditional permission to rest, and I'm not just saying like sitting your ass on a couch, like it's so important to recognize, we could do a whole nother podcast on this about like types of rest, but just because you're not, like if you're sitting in a bed or sitting on a couch, if there's a voice in your head being like, I need to move, I'm such a bad person, I'm such a pig, I'm such a slob, I can't believe I'm so lazy, that's not resting. Sure, you're physically resting, but mentally you're on overdrive. The same goes with food, with restriction. People tell me, Sam, I'm not restricting. I eat pizza. And I'm like, well, you eat pizza, but in your head, are you like, I shouldn't be eating this. I'm such a bad person for eating this. How could I eat this? Blah, blah, blah. So it all, it's like so parallel, our relationships with food and movement. So I know that that big fear of unconditional permission to rest, that fear is, oh my God, if I give myself permission to rest, I'm never going to move again. If I miss a workout, if I get out of my routine, if I skip it, I'm never going to do it again. Yes, you will. You will do what you want to do when you want to do it, instead of forcing yourself to do this militant movement that you might not even enjoy. And so a big part of making peace with food, once you can have all foods, we really work on like, what food do you enjoy? What brings you satisfaction? What feels good, or like feels pleasant in your body to eat? The same thing happens with movement. If you are making peace with movement, you are going to leave behind all of the rules, all of the restrictions, all of the hardcore workouts that didn't bring you joy, and you're going to make peace with it. You're going to have unconditional permission to rest, and then you're going to ask yourself, what do I even like? What have I not tried? What sounds fun? Maybe it is a dance class. Maybe it is gardening. Maybe it is walking. Maybe it is running. Maybe it's a type of bar class or yoga class or canoeing or hiking, or I don't know, because I don't know you personally, but I do know that you can enjoy movement, and it's going to take a long time if you have restricted yourself from food. It's going to take a really long time to make peace with food. And if you have forced yourself to move for a really long time in a certain way, it's going to take time to heal that relationship with movement. This is not me telling you that I have all of the answers and everything's going to be perfect. And the goal is not about working out every day or moving your body every day. The goal is about removing the guilt and shame from rest, learning how to allow yourself to rest physically, mentally, emotionally, and getting to a point that when your body is saying, I want to engage in movement again because I want to, not because I have to, and not for the intention of shrinking my body, what can we find that you enjoy? I will say doing something in community has been very helpful for me. I love, love, love like the dance class I went to. They are huge on community. It was such an incredible, diverse group of people. And like, it was just so fun. Like none of us knew each other, but we were doing it together. And I think that was like really beautiful, especially as, you know, an online entrepreneur that I am talking to my fucking computer right now with a microphone in my hand in my office. I am trapped. I am isolated. I'm not complaining. I feel very grateful for the work that I do, but it's so easy for me not to be in community with real humans. And I think I've also learned that pairing community with movement, whether that's going on a walk with a neighbor, whether that is doing a dance class, like doing something with other humans, brings me a lot of joy and fills up my cup. And so that doesn't mean every form of movement needs to be that way, because like my power hour on the treadmill was solo and I had a ton of fun doing that too. But those are just some little tips I want to share with you. So as you walk away from this episode, I want to make it explicitly clear that this is going to take time. You can logically read an Instagram post that says like, move your body for joy and enjoyment, not for calorie burning. And you can logically sit there and say, yeah, that sounds great. I would love to do that. But if you have been engaging in movement to burn calories, to punish yourself, to shrink your body, to earn your food for 20 years, 5 years, whatever it is, it's going to take time to unlearn that and rewire that brain. I'm so grateful that you're here today. If you resonated with this and you're like, holy shit, I needed to hear this message, please get your insurance benefits checked. Yes, we are dietitians, but as you see, there are so many parallels from relationship with movement to relationship with food. And these are things that you can unpack in session, covered by your health insurance. Click that link in the show notes below. We would absolutely love to chat with you. We are licensed in over 25 states. We take Aetna, Cigna, BCBS, United, Anthem, 100 plus insurance plans. Please, please, please get your insurance benefits checked. And please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I would love to hear what you thought of this episode, what you want to hear more of. The more I hear from you, the more I can help you. So again, thank you for being here. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.